I don't know if people look at calendars anymore. I do. Those paper things that hang on walls and so forth. You probably saw this past week on those calendars that put on special days. You saw one called Yom Kippur. And it actually started Wednesday evening and then ended Thursday evening. And this ended what the Jewish people today call the Jewish High Holy Days. And to people who observe that, this was a very, very important time. My son-in-law, who's in a religious school, they actually let out school for a long time. That's how important these days are to them. But what does that word mean? Well, Yom has the idea of day, and Kippur has to do with covering or atonement. So this is what is often called the Day of Atonement. The most important day if you're Jewish. And you might say, what does that have to do with us? It has to do a lot with us. Because atonement, Jesus came to do for us. But what does atonement really mean? And the best way to give an explanation is to give you an example. A great example occurs back in Numbers 16. I won't go through the whole episode. This, of course, is in the time of the wilderness wanderings, and we have three individuals: Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. And what do? They rebel against God's chosen messengers, Moses and Aaron, which means they rebel against God. What happens? Well, this resulted in the death of these three men. All three of them died by God's hand, as well as 250 other men who followed them. Well, the next morning, there the nation of Israel is gathered, all the Israelites, and they slander Moses. And they claim that Moses was the one that killed all of these men, these fellow Israelites. God gets angry. What does God do? He brings a plague against the people. And this plague kills almost 15,000 of God's people. But something stopped it. And it's that something that gives us a good illustration of what it means to atone for something. Numbers 16, and I just want to read a few verses there, and we'll give an excellent example of what it means to atone. So, verse 46 of Numbers 16 says, "So Moses said to Aaron, 'Take a censer and put fire in it from the altar, put incense on it, and take it quickly to the congregation and make atonement for them.'" Okay? So this is leading us to what's happening. "For wrath has gone out from the Lord, the plague has begun." So notice, first of all, that atonement has to do with God's anger. Alright? Has to do with God's anger. Verse 47. "Then Aaron took it as Moses commanded and ran into the midst of the assembly," midst of the people, "and already the plague had begun among the people. So he put in the incense and made atonement for the people." What did that do? "And he stood between the dead and the living, so the plague was stopped." That's what it means to atone. You satisfy, you appease God's anger. And the people were saved. All right? So atonement has to do with appeasing God's anger and saving the people. So this turned away God's wrath. So by him taking the censer, putting it in the midst, that stopped the plague. That's called atonement. That's called atonement. So what does that have to do with us? Again, that's what Jesus did for us, especially on the cross, as we'll see. The Day of Atonement is described in Leviticus 16, and that's going to be our main focus today. The first thing I want us to notice is that Aaron, the high priest, had to be spotless. All right? Verse 1. Now the Lord spoke to Moses after the death of the two sons of Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, who offered strange fire and were killed. And they offered profane fire before the Lord. Profane has to do with unauthorized fire and die. And the Lord said to Moses, tell Aaron your brother not to come at just any time into the holy place inside the veil before the mercy seat which is on the ark, lest he die, for I will appear in the cloud above the mercy seat. See, it's a sinful person too. So he was not capable of atoning for the sins of the people. And God tells Moses, make sure Aaron understands he cannot be presumptuous. He cannot just come any time into the most holy place where the ark was, and he couldn't come any way he wanted. He had to come exactly like God told him to, or he would die. Well, thus Aaron shall come into the holy place, verse 3, with the blood of a young bull as a sin offering, and as a ram as a burnt offering. He shall put the holy linen tunic and the linen trousers on his body. He shall be girded with a linen sash, and with the linen turban he shall be attired. These are holy garments. Holy garments. Therefore he shall wash his body in water and put them on. See, Aaron had to humble himself. This was critical. He had to humble himself. He had to change garments. Now, every day throughout the course of the year, except this one day, Aaron wore his golden garments of a high priest. You know, he had the very special turban hat on. He had the breastplate that had the 12 precious stones on. He had his ephod. And so he had normally all this very costly, precious golden garments on. But this one day he had to take those off and change. And he just changed into plain linen garments. You know, a linen coat, linen trousers, linen sash, linen turban. He had to change garments. And I think there's a lesson in and of itself there. Coming in God's presence, he didn't come in his really golden garments. He came very simple. Well, that's how Jesus came too, wasn't it? Jesus didn't come down to earth in a golden chariot or golden garments. He came as we are. Put on humanity. Came as a servant. He humbled himself. Became obedient to the cross. Even death on. What happens? And he shall take from the congregation of the children of Israel two kids of the goats as a sin offering, one ram as a burnt offering. Aaron shall offer the bull as a sin offering, which is for himself, and for himself and for his house. I want to skip down to verse 11. And Aaron shall bring the bull of the sin offering, which is for himself, and make atonement for himself and for his house, and shall kill the bull as the sin offering which is for himself. See, before he could go into the most holy place, he had to be atoned for himself. He was a sinner. He had sinned throughout the course of the year, so he couldn't enter the most holy place unless he was cleansed first himself. See, he wasn't sinless. But our high priest was. Notice what the Hebrew writer says in Hebrews 7. Very significant text, I think. Hebrews 7:6. Notice the difference between Aaron and Jesus. Verse 26 says, for such a high priest was fitting for us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and has become higher than the heavens, who does not need daily, as those high priests, to offer up sacrifices, first for his own sins and then for the people's. For this he did once for all when he offered up himself. For the law appoints as high priests men who have weakness. But the word of the oath, which came after the law, appoints the Son who perfected forever. Jesus only had to do it one time. He was the perfect, sinless, harmless sacrifice who was also our high priest. Well, what happens next? I want to look at verse 12. Then he shall take a censer full of burning coals of fire from the altar before the Lord, with his hands full of sweet incense, beaten fine, and bring it inside the veil. And he shall put the incense on the fire before the Lord, that the cloud of incense may cover the mercy seat that is on the testimony, lest he die. He shall take some of the blood of the bull and sprinkle it with his finger on the mercy seat on the east side, and before the mercy seat he shall sprinkle some of the blood with his finger seven times. Aaron had to be very, very careful in entering the holy place. Not simply go in, walk into the holy place. Remember, this was where God's presence was. He couldn't walk in there and see God's glory. It was too amazing. It was too powerful. It was too bright. It was too wonderful. He would have died if he would have done that. So what did he do? He had to get a censer with incense. Basically, as he opened the veil, opened the curtain that separated the holy place from the most holy place, had to walk in with the censer so it would fill the room with smoke, so it would dim God's glory. Otherwise, he would have died. It's really an amazing thing that he had to do there. See, if he was going to live, he had to be like God told him. Well, then what did he do? Now, notice he couldn't see well because of the cloud of incense. But then he had to take the blood of the bull and sprinkle it on the mercy seat, part of it, and then sprinkle it in front of the mercy seat. Remember, the mercy seat was simply the lid of the Ark of the Covenant. That was what sat on top of the Ark of the Covenant. And that represented God's presence. And of course, the people, you know, more than anything, wanted God's presence to be there. And for it to stay, Aaron had to do exactly what God told him to in the way God told him to do it, or God's presence would have fled. I want to notice, going back one more time to Hebrews, this time chapter 9, there's so many similarities, but also so many differences. Hebrews 9, this time verse 13. It says, for if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifies for the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead God. See, Jesus' blood wasn't spread on a physical lid or covering. What was it? It was sprinkled on the heavenly atonement lid. That's where it was sprinkled. What else do we see? High priest. We see that he had to go in by himself. Nobody else was allowed to go in with him. Back to Leviticus 16, this time verse 15. It says, then he shall kill the goat of the sin offering, which is for the people, bring its blood inside the veil, do with that blood as he did with the blood of the bull, and sprinkle it on the mercy seat and before the mercy seat. So he shall make atonement, notice, for the holy place because of the uncleanness of the children of Israel and because of their transgressions, for all their sins. And so he shall do for the tabernacle of meeting which remains among them in the midst of their uncleanness. Now skip down to verse 18 and 19. And he shall go out to the altar that is before the Lord and make atonement for it, and shall take some of the blood of the bull and some of the blood of the goat and put it on the horns of the altar all around. Then he shall sprinkle some of the blood on it with his finger seven times, cleanse it and consecrate it from the uncleanness of the children of Israel. What is so significant about that? See, the people of Israel, because of their sins, had contaminated whole place. This is the best.